tomato basil soup.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm going to anyways.
Here we go.
This isn't on, right?
I guess my attempt is...
Yeah?
No? You know, to kind of figure out the story.
I've never done anything like this before.
As I have conversations.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I'd say it's about as local as you can get.
Welcome back to another episode of Creative Citizen, The Unexpected Artist. I'm your host, Madeline Allborn. We are coming at you tonight out of the Closet recording studio here at the Church Project in Monte Vista. The Creative Citizen is produced by the famous Owen Woods and published on our alamosacitizen.com platform by our wonderful partners. And tonight, we're actually... Mary, you've been in the closet before.
I was in the closet for quite a long time, actually.
Quite a long time. And then also part of another series, which is yet to be published yet, called In the Closet with Mom. We'll put a pin in that and come back to it at another point. But tonight, you are... Do you want to introduce yourself, actually? I'll stick with the theme. It's been a minute.
I'm Mary Wilhelm. I'm the painting and drawing professor at Adams State University. And I'm also currently the Rare Air Director for our Artisan Resident, which is our Artisan Residency program at Adams State. So I run that. I have two cats. I paint. I'm an oil painter. Yeah. It's really fun. I really like animals and coyotes. And if anybody wants me to talk their ear off, you should definitely ask me questions about painting or coyotes, and I will not shut the fuck up. I couldn't even go like a minute without cursing.
Yeah, that's so funny. Thanks for being here again in the closet recording studio. Talking about this unique program, and I know it took a break during kind of the COVID years, and now it's revamped or it's revamping. What's that process look like so far?
I mean, a lot of what I've been doing is like they had a pretty solid program set up before. A lot of what I've been doing, I mean, we got a new apartment that doesn't, you know, that's like nicer than the old one. And I can't necessarily, I mean, it's my first time really directing a program like this where I'm working more directly with artists like that are, you know, in the emerging or, you know, maybe middle stage of their careers. So again, I'm trained primarily as a teacher, so I'm kind of learning as I go along a little
bit. Yeah.
So the program itself, I can't necessarily say a ton has like really changed because again, it's my first time doing this, so I don't really know.
Right. I guess what maybe a better question would be, what do you hope for the program?
You know, I've got a
Your hopes and dreams. Tell us your hopes and dreams, Mary.
You know, what I really want is, you know, we live in a really unique area of Colorado. I think when I ask people what they think about Colorado, they always give me like, oh, skiing, alpine, you know, village towns, you know, snow. Yeah. That's a very terrible description. Yeah, cold. Sorry, that's a terrible description of Colorado. I'm going to just tell everyone right now, I'm from Florida. So
so you're really still starting to understand Colorado.
I'm still starting to understand
out
Colorado.
Out of the stereotypical what people think of Colorado in terms of like maybe just like mountains, rivers, outdoors.
Fly fishing.
Yeah. Fly fishing.
What other Colorado people do here? Snowboarding.
Dogs and canoes.
Yeah. Like, is that a stereotype here? Fascinating. Okay. We live in a really, like, if you have that picture of Colorado in your head, the valley is, like, very, very different from that. I mean, we're in the portion that used to be part of Mexico when we, you know, before the United States, like, took that portion of Mexico and was like, it's ours now. And it's a really unique environment. It's high desert, so it's not alpine. It's, you know, prairie. We got pronghorn out here. And it's very, very rural. And I think for me, as someone, I've only lived here, I'm going on 3 years now, so I'm still kind of getting to know it too, but I really want to have the ability for artists to come to this valley who maybe like have an impression of Colorado, but then can have like a more unique experience in this particular area of Colorado. It's a really unique area. It is. It's just got a lot to offer because there isn't as much construction as like Denver.
The stereotypical understanding mm-hmm. or impression that people have of Colorado overall and the uniqueness. Is that also kind of probably where the title Rare Air came from?
I have no idea. I think that's what it's from. I cannot find any like literature about why they named it that. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery to me, but I'm going to say that yes, it's because it's a rare opportunity and a very unique environment in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, and I'm a professor at a university, and being in, you know, this valley where our, you know, the biggest town is really about 2 hours away, which I think is like Santa Fe or Taos. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, our students really don't have a ton of opportunities to engage with artists that are outside of the valley. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my personal opinion is that, you know, the more perspectives and the more viewpoints you get on life, whether or not you agree with them, it enriches you in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully in a good way.
I agree with that too. I mean, yeah, I always have that hope that someone is more feels more enriched in their life after meeting me.
I know. Hopefully we're not all energy vampires. But so the goal of the program is really to, you know, expose artists to this valley, bring attention to the valley, have them create work with the community here, and then have those artists also bring their viewpoints to the students and the community as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the San Luis Valley has so much to offer, and I feel like it gets passed over so much.
Drive through town.
Mm-hmm.
And towns, I guess, right?
Yeah, which, you know, it's sort of weird. Again, I'm from Florida, and I did my master's in Arizona, and I never envisioned myself ever living in Colorado. And mm-hmm. I am from big cities, you know, a minimum 100,000 people. My high school, when I was I had a graduating class of 500 kids.
Mm-hmm.
So coming here and being like, having students that are like, yeah, my graduating class is like 20. I'm like, oh, this is a different environment. But and the nice thing about that is too, is because it is smaller, I know a lot of the artists in the valley, and bringing other artists here from outside the valley, I'm like, hey, I know someone who you would think really cool, and I can kind of make those connections a lot easier than, you know, being in a big city and having to like track someone down and they're 30 minutes away and let's go try to meet up and, oh, you're doing something else. Which there's still sometimes those issues, you know, I'm not going to have an umbrella statement there, but it makes it a little bit easier to have a more authentic relationship, I think, with the place when you can connect mm-hmm. more easily with people. And I think being in a rural small town allows for that in a lot of ways. And again, sometimes you're going to meet people that you don't necessarily agree with in a mm-hmm. small town, but you have to function in the same community and you can't be like hating all on each other all the time.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that I think I went on a rambling little bit for that. Hopefully you got some nuggets of wisdom in there.
Yeah. So there are like numerous reasons, because mm-hmm. my next question, which you've answered it in part, but mm-hmm. why would an artist want to apply for this Rare Air opportunity?
Well, I mean, from a practical standpoint, you get an apartment for about a month. I think most of the residencies are minimum 3 weeks. And okay. I'm in control of it. So if I have an artist who's like, I can only be out there for 2 weeks, I'm pretty flexible. Mm-hmm. It's my program. I'm God.
You can choose.
I can choose.
You can select.
I can select. but they get an apartment and they get a studio, and they really only have to commit, not only, but they have to commit to like interacting with the community or the students in some capacity. And, you know, depending on how much they want to engage, the rest of the time they really have to themselves to basically work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the studio itself is pretty large.
It is a big space.
Yeah. How big would you say it is? It's like 15 by 20 feet.
Yeah. What's that math?
We're
artists, not mathematicians. Use your calculator. It is a big space, and mm-hmm. I'll speak to my experience here in a minute. But I'm curious as to the why, I suppose. Or like what type of artist? You said earlier kind of like you don't necessarily have to be like an emerging artist. You could be somewhere kind of in like mm-hmm. your midlife career as an artist to come and have this experience.
Yeah.
As well. But yeah. Anyone, right?
Yeah, really anyone. I mean, you know, right now it's a program that's supposed to be shared amongst like the visual art, the theater, and music. So it's anybody who's really in any of those disciplines. And my plan for the future is to actually open it up for writers too.
I love it.
Yeah. I was working with one of the people at Narrow Gauge, Gene, and we were talking about how they want to do a book fest. And I really want the Rare Air Residency to like, you know, get the writers, so they would have a place to stay that's their own. And then while they're there, book fest is happening so that they're there for an entire month to do this festival and then also, you know, create and write. Mm-hmm. I'm just big into storytelling. So I'm like, yeah, get me a writer out here too.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, I really like there's been this like sort of like, as I've been doing this, I'm like, oh, I can finally kind of give back to the community in a broader sense than just to the students, which is really, as you know, I tell people, I'm not really an extrovert, but I'm like an introvert with a very strong extrovert muscle. I've worked it out a lot.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy engaging with people and engaging with communities and engaging with the bookstore. And the bookstore, side note, has now learned what type of books I like, and they're buying things before I tell them to buy it. And then they're like, hey, we thought of you.
We used our sixth sense. Yeah.
So, and it's fun to be able to be like, you know, like with you being able to offer it as like a space to like learn how an artist residency runs so that we could set up another one. And I'm just including myself in here because I'm planning on helping with the Tin Can Camp too. But it's a way to really kind of give back to the community in a way that feels more direct than just working with students, which, yeah, working with students is a direct sort of, you know, you give knowledge ideally or an experience mm-hmm. and then ideally it comes back at some point. But this feels
yeah, you're just kind of you're widening the rings of impact that mm-hmm. this can have. Like the inner ring, right, is like, I mean, students you're working with directly. And then I think outer rings. Yeah, as right. And that comes with collaboration, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. that comes with like those connections, like with the bookstore and also hopefully like the church project too, tapping yeah. into however we can support, because we also want to do a residency. But I feel like, yeah. Tell me about the local rollout program, Mary.
So that's been
in these first baby steps of relaunching mm-hmm. Rare Air.
I mean, that was kind of just my way of getting people into the space to test it out mm-hmm. that I like, that I know I can get honest feedback from and be like, okay, this is what is working. This isn't what working. And also like before I like have someone who comes in that maybe I don't know as well, I can like sort of work through the kinks of here's the key, here's the paperwork you have to fill right. out. Like even just through our sort of like brief, like me going over some of the stuff, I was like, oh, I need to fix this and edit this. And that was helpful yeah. to me because, good. You know, yeah. the local rollout is one because, you know, when we also have these artist residencies, you know, again, the longer ones are kind of for artists that are outside of the valley. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe it's, you know, and this is for more local people who like maybe have families here and really can only take about a week. But mm-hmm. it's so it helps them because it gives you another line on your resume. And then it also, you know, it's people that I trust that I know I can get good feedback from, mm-hmm. you know. And then it's again, it supports them because it's kind of it was so much fun having you be there for even just a week. Because like, yeah, I see you. I come and visit you at the church project. But it's fun to have like be like, oh, here's my opinion as your professor, but why don't you go ask Maddie or have her come in for critique and she can give yeah. her opinion and we might be antithetical to each other at some points, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I think it's been, I've only had you so far, but hopefully Owen will come in.
Maybe Dustin Siggety is another writer too.
Yeah.
Poet. Yeah. Or we'll see how many, I guess you can fit in if Galen will come in at the end. But yeah, there's the disclosure there that I, Madeline Allborn, was the first local rollout. Mm-hmm. And today was my last day as the artist in residence. And it was a really lovely experience. It took me, because I've never done a residency program before. Mm-hmm. And one, I wanted to figure out what does it feel like to just focus on your work? And it took me until about Wednesday night around 9 o'clock. PM.
That's the time I'm winding down and you're time to paint.
I know. So really, because I've just been going so hard for the last 3+ years, you know, that I'm just like, what does it mean to slow down? I'm like, wait, I get to go to this critique class and talk about art with new students who are new to me and painting is new to them. And anyways, it was really fun and really educational. And to be able to have that space, it is a beautiful studio. It's really lovely.
Yeah.
I have to write in my notes that there needs to be clamp lights in there.
I know.
To fluorescence.
I know. Yeah. I have that issue even with the painting rooms because those fluorescents are basically the same thing that's in that studio.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
But really, I mean, the table surfaces in there and variety of desks and drawing tables that are available. I mean, yeah, really, I think just about any medium that an artist is working in could, be able to really utilize that space in a powerful way.
Yeah, and to be fair, if we have anybody that comes in that's a ceramicist or a sculptor, they're allowed to use the photography equipment. They're allowed to use the ceramics. They're allowed to use the sculpture rooms. That is part of the residency is you get access to the facilities. Again, we're a small rural school. We don't have all the fancy shit. But we have, if you're looking for space and we have the most of the equipment, you can make some cool shit out here.
Yeah.
And I do think that, just having that time to really sit and focus on art is important for an artist. Because I think you were telling my class, there's 80% administration and then 20% actually doing. And I would like for, the residency for that to flip. You get to do 80% your work and 20% admin stuff.
That's very much how Wednesday and Thursday, I really felt because Tuesday I messed up and worked for my full-time job for 5 hours, but that's on me. That's definitely not on you.
Come in and be Maddie, I can sense you're working.
Yeah. But I think that's also just what I recognized in me was I have been in this habit of work, that 80%, probably 90% admin and 10% being in it and actually making. Mm-hmm. But that was very clearly defined that I was ooh, wait a minute. Remember, you're here for a reason. Time to switch that around. And it did really feel a little bit of it was a breath of fresh, rare air.
We see what you did there.
I see what you did. But yeah, I think it's a really, it is a unique opportunity and a unique place. And I had a blast talking with your students. Mm-hmm. And then, it's hard, I think, for me when someone's you have 20, 25 minutes for a lecture. And then 60 minutes later, I'm so, questions. But it seemed to be okay too. I mean, doing that little lecture for Tony's class. Mm-hmm. But I appreciated all of the time and attention. Mm-hmm. And even though it's just part of the locals rollout, I did feel like I was resident. Oh, I get a fancy parking pass.
Well, and you know, I say the locals rollout, and I feel like sometimes it's not about the week long being any less important.
Yeah,
it's because there's this part of me that is sort of I do want to focus on local artists here because we have cool artists around.
Yeah,
like,
we do.
Like, we have so many cool, like, great artists that work here. And, you know, just even just getting students being, like, aware that they have really cool, like, there's a lot of really cool people doing some really cool stuff in this valley. And being able to offer that space, even for just a week, for them to, the resident to just come and even just talk to the students. Because I can't tell you the amount of times I've had students be like, we have a bookstore that's not the campus bookstore. I was like, yeah, we, you like, have you been to the downtown? They're like, I'm shaking my head, just FYI. I realize we're not recording this with a video. So I'm like, wait, I should probably describe to the people who are listening.
Yeah.
So it's really, it makes them more aware of what's happening in the valley too. And like, you know, cause I had some students who weren't aware that the church project was even a thing, you know, and it's a really cool space that you have. And we're recording in it and you have all this cool stuff and I love visiting you here. And it makes them more like, I think builds more of a stronger connection with the valley.
Yeah.
College is such a transitory time of people's lives, and this valley can feel like, you know, like you said, it's a drive, you know, it's a, the perception of it is like kind of a drive-through area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having them have this like more of a connection with other people, because how do we connect with places really? It's for me, it's always been the people that I've met. 100% honesty, when I moved out here, I was like lonely and bored most of the time, at least the first 6 months. And then I like met you and met Owen and met, you know, like my friend Nikki. And we, you know, it was through these connections and my therapist. Shout out to Sarah. You're the best. if you ever hear this, I love you. But like in a normal client therapist way. And it was through like all these relationships that I had with people that I really like. My impression of Colorado totally changed. Like, again, I'm from Florida, moved to Arizona, and never in my entire, like, I went to Red Rocks to see Lord Huron. That was my experience of really Colorado. And I had been in Gunnison for, like, a week in, like, 2019, I think, you know, out there kind of doing an artist workshop. And so my impression of Colorado was, like, those two spots, Red Rocks, Gunnison. And this job came up. I was like, Alamosa, where is that?
I have been curious about your story and how you found Adams State. I don't think I've ever asked you that before, but
yeah, I mean, we can get into it now. If anybody's listening who doesn't want to hear about that, you can just turn the podcast off. We have no control over your life or your ears.
Just fast forward a little bit because we'll come back to
we'll come back to
but this concept of like, yeah, how do you do, like, what is placemaking? Like, what does it feel like? How do you grow that belonging?
Because like, what does belonging even mean? You know, we're all nothing. I was reading this book and it was I'm not going to get too much into it, but it was about the concept of invasive species, and the author talks about how nothing's really invasive because nothing's permanent and everything's just visiting. Nothing stays forever.
Yeah,
you know. And what does belonging to a place mean?
Temporal space.
Yeah, and what belonging means to being a species and being a human. As for me getting here to the valley, I was from Florida. I went to Arizona for my master's, and lived there for 4.5 years, and moved to Tucson to do some adjuncting. That was a terrible experience. Horrible. Not the school and the adjuncting. I had a terrible apartment. So I had to break my lease and then move back to Florida for 6 months, engaged in emotional warfare with my parents. Sorry, Mom. And then, you know, this job popped up, and it was like maybe January and February. Like, a lot of professor job positions open up in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was a little bit later. And I was like, what the hell? I'll just put on an application. I was like, Colorado seems like an interesting place. Yeah. Why not? Put in an application, got an interview, and, you know, it was so funny because I got an interview, like my second interview, which is, you know, normally the one where they fly you out and, you know, show you the space and this is where you'll be living and everything. They couldn't do that because it was 2 weeks before the semester started. And I was in Wisconsin visiting my partner. We do long distance, so stereotypically queer. And interviewed in Wisconsin, then flew from Wisconsin to LA for a show. They told me I got the job, flew from LA to Colorado to look for an apartment and got an apartment, and then flew back to Florida, packed my car full of shit, and then just drove out 2 days later.
Wow. And then like probably started class on Monday or something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was like basically just in.
Yeah. Just threw me in it. And, you know, and at this point it's 2025 now. I've been teaching in some capacity since 2015. Like middle schoolers, first through eighth grade, middle schoolers up to into college kids. So it wasn't necessarily new to me. And it didn't freak me out too bad because, you know, Arizona State was great with giving me classes to teach. I'm pretty much old hat at teaching drawing, at least. So it wasn't like, it wasn't that stressful, but it my first semester did feel like, ooh, this is weird. And the funny thing about that was at the beginning of that summer. So I had put in the job application probably around March, May-ish. Can't remember exactly. And I went to Red Rocks to go see, we were driving up from Arizona to drive up to Wisconsin, go to Red Rocks and like drive up, I think. But I remember we were passing through Colorado and I remember looking to my partner and just like, I had this feeling in my bones. I was like, I think Colorado is the next place I'm going to live. And then what happens? I moved to Colorado.
Yeah.
Like within that summer. Like I have a picture of Blucifer on my personal Instagram that was from like that exact summer where I did move, you know, two and a half, three years ago. So it was a little bit, it was just weird. It was really, really weird again, because the part of Colorado that I thought I would move to, I was thinking like Front Range.
Right.
You know, that's where we were driving through. And it was definitely not that.
Yeah, Alamosa and the Valley is definitely not the Front Range.
No.
Yeah, we like some of our neighbors to the north.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of good neighbors to the north. But
yeah,
it's just, I love always hearing people's origin stories on how they came to the place where they are. And so I'm curious, like, yeah, with this opportunity to be the director of this artist in residency program in terms of that, like, welcoming someone who isn't from the Valley, like, will you be pulling from your own experience on, like, okay, we're not just going to, like, drop them in a pool of newness and be like, good luck.
Good luck. Find friends.
Yeah, go find friends. Like, what is that kind of, like, once an artist lands, like, what does that connection process look like and how you facilitate those connections with community or students?
You know, I like to think of myself as a very friendly person.
You are friendly.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You heard it all from Maddie Alborn.
You're one of my favorite characters.
Oh, thank you. You're also one of my favorite characters in the world. My goal with that is when the artist lands, you know, first and foremost, I'm like, my idea is like, I've talked to her chair about this. I'm like, I just want to take them out to dinner first, have a like sit down, talk to them, get to know them. Like, again, most of the ones that I'm sending this application out to, I already kind of know in some capacity. My goal is word of mouth, everybody. And I do, like, whether it's me or one of the other professors, like, just have someone, like, maybe take a day and be like, here's the Valley, taking them to the church project, like, introducing them to people. And then, again, like, having this artist workshop where they are running something that's in the community, like, you know, and generally speaking, with the artists who have expressed some interest, I like, have a log in my head of, like, okay, this person would probably get along with this person, like, how can I make these connections? And kind of making sure they just don't isolate themselves in their studios, which, you know, is great for production and, you know, producing work. But, you know, I always think that art is conversation, and you get more. And if you're going to be in a community and you want to authentically engage with that community, you have to kind of be in it to win it. You know, so. And I do, again, I have a fantastic personality of just being able to be like, okay, this person has XYZ traits or their work says XYZ thing. I know someone in the Valley who does that stuff. But And so making those connections, you know, like, again, like part of their thing, like I want them to have an artist lecture at Adams State or a demo or something, but bringing them to the church project and like having, you know, them do something here where they're not just engaging with Alamosa, but mm-hmm. also Monty. You know, I want to see if I can work with this gallery in Center. It's the hands-on one.
Yep.
Yeah, see if like
and artists... also Alluvium Studio, and then mm-hmm. like the Ford Motor Garage that Big Bill is running for mm-hmm. like bigger installations too and stuff. Like there is, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, like yeah. finding, sorry.
No, you're good. I was going to say I prompted this so we could talk about like, what are those
yeah.
lily pads for the artist to
yeah,
get into?
Yeah, and, you know, and like even, you know, the National Park, the Sand Dunes National Park, mm-hmm. like they're all for having artists come out there too. And like, so I'm aiming to get some connections out there to be like, hey, if you want to go to the Sand Dunes, like giving you a free pass for like yeah. a week or something. Like seeing if I could get that on, if, you know, if it's educational.
Yeah.
And just seeing like, you know, because like, again, how do we make connections with place? How do you feel like you belong somewhere? It's through the people you meet. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you're a special person. You look at a piece of land and you go, I love you. I'm not like that. I have to meet people and talk to people and feel a connection with them in order to start to love a place.
So, yeah. And it was also a leading question, too, because, right, my other job is... Mm-hmm. Working with San Luis Valley Great Outdoors, mm-hmm. we have a placemaking initiative called Tin Can Camp, mm-hmm. and it could be one of those like, oh, you can go stay out at Tin Can Camp for two nights if you want and really yeah. get connected to the landscape. There's so many unique connections, and I think like the Rare Air program and having it like housed at the university mm-hmm. and having, I mean, the administrative support around mm-hmm. it. And having, because I've only ever looked at residencies, right? I've yeah. never done one before. And I know there are some that, like, you pay to go to or you get paid. Yeah. But this is, like, you get, like, the benefit of the place to stay. Like, yeah. of the apartment.
Yeah, like, we...
And we studio.
Yeah, like, a lot of residencies, you have to pay for the application. And then you have to pay to stay there, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fine. You know, it depends on how the residency is set up and run. But the benefit of this is really, yeah, like you don't have to really, the thing you have to worry about is getting here, food and transportation. Like that's all on the yeah. artist. That's their responsibility ultimately. Apparently we used to have a bike, but I have no idea where that went.
Oh, like a bicycle?
Like a bicycle.
I love that.
I'm like, where did that go? I wondered why I found like, a little like pack to put on a bike. I was like, why is this in the apartment? Like,
oh, how funny.
Yeah. So we don't really, we offer again, a free application, a free place to stay. They get a studio. That's again, a pretty decent size.
It's very big.
It's very big. So you can go crazy in there as long as you're not completely destroying shit. Mm-hmm. So I was going to say something about that. I'm like, don't.
I do think the studio, I think it's like a 15 by 25 space.
Yeah. It's
because I'm thinking about the 8-foot painting that I just made. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that only took up a very small fraction of the big wall.
Yeah.
So.
And I have a, yeah, I think it's probably about right. It's somewhere within 15 by 25 or around there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a big space, and again, they get to interact with students, and they got to be in Colorado, which there's like there feels like there's so many people who are like, I want to be in Colorado.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you're gonna be in a really weird spot of Colorado. So when I was driving down, and I like, there's an alligator farm here, and I'm from Florida, and I was like, yeah. What are you doing here, you guys? Why? And then the UFO watchtower, like,
oh, the haunted highway,
like,
or the cosmic highway, That's
yeah,
what
no,
they
we're
call
not
it, 17. I'm thinking of Bothy.
Yeah,
hey Bothy.
Hope you're doing well. Yeah, so. You know, it's a really weird little area. And then you got Crestone mm-hmm. up there too, which if anybody has watched that cult documentary, you have gotten an introduction to that place.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting area, and it's again, it's also like economically, like I think we're like one of the poorer counties in like all of Colorado, if I remember correctly, one of the poorest.
Costilla. I mean, we have six counties that make up the valley.
Yeah.
But Costilla is like in the top five in like the nation, I think.
Yeah.
Actually.
Which is weird again, because, you know, Colorado, like Denver area is so expensive to live in now.
Right. Yeah.
And then contrasting, and it's just a big cultural shift between, mm-hmm. again, like the little mountain towns, Aspen, which I went there over the summer, hated it. If anybody is listening from Aspen and you love it, great. Fantastic. I hated driving around there. I'm so sorry. It was terrible. I had some, anyways, I'm not going to rant about Aspen.
It's good. Different demographics in the valley.
Yeah. Just different demographics. So, so it's just really different from the rest of Colorado. And I think people should experience that and be like, here's a totally different view of the state that everyone thinks that they know.
Mm-hmm.
But they really don't. And, you know, and that's, I think it's true of any place. Like, you really have to be in it and, like, experience several different sides of it to really understand it. Like,
yeah.
You know, I will defend Florida till the day that I die. I grew up there. I understand it. It's got a really cool history. But it gets a reputation for being crazy because we have legislation that allows reporters to just report on whatever. Mm. And that's how you get, like, Florida Man, essentially. Everyone has a Florida Man. Colorado has Florida Man. Arizona had Florida Man. Like, people do crazy shit everywhere. And I just think everywhere's unique and weird and crazy. And it's more surface level here. And that's what I really like, is the fact that it's so, like, the weirdness is, like,
there. Yeah, you don't have to, like, dig deep to find the weird. It's mm-hmm. just all around us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and, I mean, some of it, because maybe that came out of my mouth in a way that I didn't really intend it to, but not like the weirdness is all around, but like in the 8,000 square mile region of mm-hmm. the San Luis Valley. And for context, for folks listening who aren't from here, it's about the size of Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
So, and across the valley, we have about 50,000 year round residents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that spikes to like 150,000 during the summertime because people love the sand dunes, right? And people love Colorado for all the reasons that you've already listed, you know?
Yeah.
But the folks who are here all mm-hmm. the time, that number is much smaller. And like going from county to county or from small cities and towns or even townships or villages,
mm-hmm.
like the culture of those places are also drastically different from one another. Like, we call Alamosa the big city,
mm-hmm.
you know, even though we're still the city of Alamosa here, we're 4,500 people versus what, 15,000, 18,000, 11,000 in Alamosa.
Yeah.
But you're still the big city.
I know, which is so funny because it's like, again, coming from like a place of like 500,000 people, Tampa Bay, Florida, it's like,
right. You're like, oh, I'm in tiny town.
I'm in tiny town. But in some ways that can be really fun because I love going to the coffee shops and being like, I recognize people. And then sometimes I, you know, see students and I'm like, I don't feel like engaging with you right now. And I have to like swoop into a hall.
And you hide. Yeah.
But for the most part, like that's maybe 5% of the time. Most of the time I'm like, oh, my goodness. Hello. It's so fun to see you. And you don't get that in a big city, really.
Yeah.
And so I think the benefit, you know, at least that the benefit with the residents coming here is, again, like you have me and you have ideally all the other professors who have lived here for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my goal is to have us all try to help the residents connect with the community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and some of the artists who were messaging me were like, oh, can I like talk to the biology department? And like, are there any people who are like really interested in like the ecology of the San Luis Valley that I could like, you know, engage with? And so it's been also really fun because I get to engage with other departments. And so now those departments,
really cool.
Yeah, it's been fun. Now they send me things. They're like, hey, this is like an art opportunity for like a science thing. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I would love to, you know, engage or talk to you about that. So that's really fun.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like there's also like growth for the program too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like even like there was that CASE fellowship that I think CU Boulder did,
mm-hmm.
like Jocelyn Catterson did that.
Yeah.
And then where like an artist and scientist were paired together. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of like existing kind of examples out there that this could also kind of, and in some ways maybe have intentionally or unintentionally been modeled after, but mm-hmm. kind of fall in suit. But
yeah, when I was in, oh, sorry, were you going to say something?
I was just going to ask, have you ever done an artist in residence?
You know, the funny thing is, no. And here I am in charge of one.
Yeah, so I was just, yeah. Anyways, that's sidebar.
Yeah, no, combo, I am.
Just curious.
They weren't something, because again, a lot of them you have to pay money to do. Yeah.
Or even apply.
Or even apply. And, you know, I have two cats and a lot of them are not pet friendly.
Oh.
And I have a lovely student who watches my cats for an absurd amount of time sometimes, but you know, my cats got one of them got diagnosed with diabetes. So I kind of am like a little more hesitant. They're 15, you know, I'm a little more hesitant to kind of,
like step out or away for a little bit. And
yeah, which again, at one point in time I will, I'm also like not necessarily it's hard for, you know, when they on the applications, they kind of like want you to like propose a project. And sometimes the way I work is like getting to the place and then the project comes to me, or like, you know, I have to kind of engage with the space first. And then, you know, figure out what I'm doing from there.
Like making work in response to the context.
Yeah. And like, and again, like the way that I work is, and the way that I believe art is it's a conversation. You have to have conversations with people. And how do I have a conversation with an application?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I can sit there and Google on the internet, but that's not really the same thing as like authentically talking to someone. Like someone's perception of, you know, their city is always going to be a little bit different than someone else's, you know? And maybe it's just, I'm just a bad at writing things like that. I don't know. But it's not necessarily the way my brain works.
Yeah.
I like to create work in response to things that I've experienced. I find that having to be in a place is really like, it's because that's just how my mind works. But other artists don't do that. And I think for, you know, again, it's so funny never having done a residency, but running this one, which is why I also was like, locals, will you please come try this out? Because I don't know if I'm doing it right.
Yeah. Are you going to do it yourself?
I want to. There's a couple artist residencies in like.
No, I mean the rare air here.
No, because I'm running it. It wouldn't make a ton of sense. And I already have a studio space that I really kind of enjoy.
That it would that might be silly to like move all your stuff into the
be like
main building.
I just have like two studios now and I've already really got quite a large one.
I know, it used to be mine.
I know, and that's
we've shared so many things in past lives.
We have, in just the short amount of time that we've met in this life, we have shared so much. So that's why I like having like you guys come in for at least this fall semester to kind of experience it, because through you, I experience it. And then I can be on it. You can be very honest with me and I can be like, okay, we need to fix XYZ things or fix, you know, however I'm doing stuff.
Do you think it's going to be like every fall you might do like a small local like rollout just to hold that space or opportunity for residents?
I think I might. The way I've set it up currently is next year that won't be the case, but I think, you know, I will be doing it again. Just with you, but I really enjoy the artists in the valley, and there's a part of me that's like, I want to hang out with my friends from here and see them more consistently.
Yeah.
And I would love for them to like, you know, be able to get a line on their resume and then come and interact with the students. So it might be, you know, it or like an in-between for, you know, the big artist residencies, like a week where there's a local person here. Flip side of that is maybe making the artists like local ones like 2 weeks, because your experience of like, you know, it took you a couple days to really get into the flow of things. And I think it would be, you know, I think there's opportunity. Again, it's my program. I get to do what I want. And I have submitted and sent the application to locals and been like, you know, again, if other people from around the United States, you know, don't. I don't know why I said it like that. Maybe that's just how I feel about the United States right now. But, I can always plug those holes. If like we don't have a residence during a month, I can like find locals and just be like, hey, we don't have anyone here. Does someone want to come in and be here for a couple weeks? And then, you know, so there's some flexibility there. Again, it's my program ultimately. Like the fun thing about being in charge of something is I get to do what I want as long as I don't get in trouble. Which I'm not going to do anything to get anyone in trouble, just FYI.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting just because, like, right through the church project, we eventually would like to have an artist in residence as well, right? Yeah. Once the bathroom project's done, we'll shut down the other side of the building. I'll start my demo and start the rebuild of an apartment space. Yeah. But we'll have kind of two tracks because, one, I would love to have – you know, like partnership with Rare Air and whatever that might look like. But then similarly, in terms of like the locals rollout, but offer something as short as like a long weekend staycation. Mm-hmm. Like if you're an author and you have one chapter of your book and you just need like 3 or 4 days to really focus in and be in a dedicated space, then like, that's how I want this space to serve too. So maybe there could be, I mean, this is just the beginning of, I know, a conversation that we'll continue to have, but.
And my goal is, again, like the artists come here, they do our residency, and then I'd be like, hey, have you met Maddie? She's setting up an artist residency at the Church Project or the Tin Can Camp. And do you want to like do that one at some point? And I think as long as, you know, if there's a level of accessibility, and you know, you never know, an artist might come here and be like, I love this valley.
I know. Galen, for example, right? He was like, oh, maybe I'll come back in November. Oh, maybe. Whoa.
I was like, you can be here for like 3 weeks in November and have an apartment and not have to worry about staying with someone. You know, like you could have an entire space. And he was really about it. Yeah. And I think, you know, because again, like, there is, like, how do we get people to come to this valley and be like, there's more here than just the sand dunes? Like, we have really cool communities. And, you know, I think we're building a really strong art community here. I was talking to someone, there's a coffee shop in Alamosa called Milagros, where a lot of the locals go. And, you know, I was talking to some of the locals there, and they're like, oh, it's so great that you're doing this. Because they're for the Rare Air, because they're like, we really want a stronger arts community in the entire valley. And I was like, well, we have one, but
it's quite strong.
Yeah. I was like, I just,
but it is a little hidden. Unless you're like in the scene, you don't really know there's a scene happening. Talk about this with Dustin Siggity a lot. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Siggity crew. Mm-hmm. Right, because there are vibes that are happening where it's like, whoa, like there's a buzz, there's something. Maybe it's still hard to like kind of put your finger on, but I mean, there's also like the creative district, Alamosa Creates, that's like budding up in like really big ways. And it feels like really appropriate timing.
Yeah. And I think
there's a relaunch.
Yeah. And I think that, again, it's also like the visibility aspect. There's just people who sometimes just don't know that things are happening. And I think that's a communication thing more than anything. You're taking a photo of me now. I'm not.
just act natural.
Okay. Just FYI. Sorry. She said act natural. I made a very goofy face. The world.
It's for the newsletter.
It's for the newsletter, and listen.
Sorry, I'll let you talk.
No, they're. I did an interview one time where they're like, "Hey, send a picture of yourself." And there's this troll in Seattle. You know the troll bridge in Seattle.
Is that like a, not Dan Barry is the wrong name. Like the troll made out of pallets?
No, it's like the Breckenridge troll. It's sculpted. It's made out of like concrete and something. I had an artist interview that was like, hey, send a picture with yourself. And the picture that I sent was me with my arm up its nose. So, you know, the picture you have there is very on brand. I'm just saying that's
okay.
Yeah, it's gonna fit.
Fabulous.
We can take another one. Don't worry about it. But I think most of what I've noticed is, again, because there's cool stuff happening. I mean, we've got stuff going on at our very cool, very awesome bookstore, Narrow Gauge. Shout out to them again. Love you guys. But this the stuff that they're doing isn't always communicated to like my students. Like again, my students don't always know. And you know, there's stuff that happens at like Sweetgrass and like all these other spaces that it's kind of like the little connecting dots to organize and make sure people like have the information. Is it's like it's starting. I can see it starting to develop, especially with our creative district that's like starting to butt up and everything. Mm-hmm. But it still feels like it's a process and development. And I can even see that reflected with some of my students again, because they don't know things are happening.
Right.
You know, I'm currently managing the Adams State Art Department Instagram.
Congratulations.
I have to, I'm just going to tell you all now, I'm a millennial. I deeply, deeply just want to influx the entire thing with cringe millennial memes.
Yeah.
it's
my favorite part.
Yeah. It's one of the other professors and I like look at these really awkward videos of like guys playing the saxophone. Like, can we just do that with the professors and make the students just play the saxophone?
It's so funny.
But that's just to make our face in the valley more visible and be like, hey, we're here. We're doing cool stuff.
Hey, we're still here. And to talk about all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of cool stuff going on. And I just want to briefly give a shout out to Owen Woods again as the 2025 champion of the arts. He was very surprised when his name was called at the ceremony. But Owen, I just wondering, like, would you like to jump in on this convo real quick? What are your perceptions of the growth in the arts in Alamosa and the Valley at large?
I think that Alamosa is on a long list of places that are going to start becoming more popular as people are unable to live in northern Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the people who are keen of that or are aware of the current situation of the housing and the cost of living in Colorado, and we're, you know, I think we're projected to be like 10 million people by 2030 or something like that. So we're there's gonna be a lot of people in Colorado, and naturally they're gonna move to where it's affordable. And the San Luis Valley is very, as you said earlier, it's a very affordable place to live. I pay $575 for rent, which gives me a very unique opportunity to kind of fuck off, because I'm not, I'm worried about financing, but I'm like, okay, I understand that like I have the ability to now do art, and I think that what the state of the Valley is becoming that is that people are coming here because it's a soul enriching place. If you've been living in the dense urban environment of Denver or Fort Collins or Boulder or whatever, it's quieter here. And I think that that quietness lends itself to more creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And because you can go to Milagros and you can say, hey, who painted this? And they go, oh, that's Mary. She's sitting over on the table over there. And then you can meet these people personally. Mm-hmm. And you can understand the art community in a more personal way. I think the lack of a, don't take this the wrong way, but a lack of like studios in Alamosa, I think lends itself to people to be very self-sufficient in their mm-hmm. art and say, you know, I think that like, I hate to use the word entrepreneur because that word is gross to me contextually, but I think that the artistic entrepreneurial spirit, big quotes there, is very alive, and it forces people to market themselves. It forces people to like think differently. And so I think that to go back to your question of like, what is the state? I think that the state is evolving. The state of art is evolving into a very productive market in the non-capital term of market of like,
totally.
Here's a serious place that you can do serious art and people will take you seriously. And I think that the word is getting out. And I was just at this Lobato's Bridge thing this morning. Maddie was there too. And yeah. I think it was Lawrence Pacheco. Yeah, Lawrence Pacheco from Costilla County. He said, we don't want to keep our places secret, but we do want to keep them sacred.
Yeah.
And I really liked that. I really liked that because I'm all about keep Colorado wild, right? Mm-hmm. I'm cool with that. But at the same time, when you bogart something, when you put up walls to something that is not meant to have walls, art, mm-hmm. as it were, mm-hmm. you lose the sacredness of it. By mm-hmm. keeping it too secret, mm-hmm. you lose the sacredness of it.
Yeah, it's like over-curated.
Yeah.
Becomes curated, maybe. Not even over-curated.
Yeah, and I think that just the freedom of expression and the lack of precedent when it comes to big, giant art in the Valley or things that are very revolutionary when it comes to art, there's a lack of precedent. And I think right now people are setting precedents. They're creating their own vision. They're executing it because they're paying $500 in rent right now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, when you have the funds to afford to create art, mm-hmm. you can do it. It becomes accessible. And I think the thing about the Valley is that it, you know, you get to be in Colorado, which a lot of people want to live in anyways.
Oh, yeah. mm-hmm.
And you have accessibility, you have financial accessibility, and the space, you know, to kind of create. I mean, I walk out of my apartment every day and I'm like, oh, there's Mount Blanca. Yep. I can see it. Yep. I also see Walmart, which is also
sometimes in the same shop.
Right.
It's in the same shop. It's like Mount Blanca, sacred mountain. Walmart. Which feels like a metaphor for the United States.
No, it does. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
I'm like, so, you know, and I think one of my big things with this program is accessibility. And I think that's why it's important to keep like the like application free. And, you know, we have the benefit of Adams State, like our housing department was really nice to let us just have this apartment. And, you know, so we have the benefit to make it really accessible to people, you know, where they don't have to pay a ton of money. Again, they're still expenses. I mean, they have to worry about their own food and transportation, which, you know, can be, you know, having a car here is kind of important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's more accessible than I think a lot of the other residencies around. Again, they just have fees attached to them, or you have to, like, you know, it would be great if I could get a stipend to pay the residents to be here and be mm-hmm. like, yeah, you can be here and get paid. That is sort of something that I'm working towards. I, you know, put in for a grant for programming, you know, to just make workshops that were accessible and free to the community. Do I know if I'll get it? I don't know, but we'll see.
Is it the Arts and Society?
Yeah, it was the Arts and Society with Red
Wine. I have a couple other like pieces up my sleeve that we won't talk about over this. But.
Okay.
Just as a side note.
Yeah, we can talk about that later. But, you know, my goal is to make it so an artist can come here. Again, ultimately, we'd be, you know, everything we have is free right now, except for the parts that they have to pay for. But I would love to take some of that, even the food cost, away at some point, or just, you know, be able to be like.
I was wondering if I was going to eat in the dining hall.
No.
I was like, do I get dining hall stamps while I'm here?
But that is something that, like, you know, again, might be something that at least, you know, even if it was just dining hall privileges, like, might be something that I could work towards. So, you know, again, as someone who is, like, experimenting and figuring it out as I'm kind of going on, like, which is very much also how I work as an artist. I'm like, I do the thing and then I figure out as I go along.
Yeah.
You know, I just want it to be accessible. I want mm-hmm. it to be accessible because I'm not always looking for artists that are like, again, at the top of their career. I had someone message me, be like, hey, you know, I've never done a residency before. Could I still apply? I was like, of course you can.
Yeah.
Like 100%. Like, you know, and sometimes I even prefer those people because, you know, it's a good starting point for anything. And
come out and test the waters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even with getting my job here, you know, I had just been adjuncting for like a year and a half, and it's, you know, they kind of took a little bit of a risk on me because I, you know, it's a tenure track position. They're hard to come by, and getting one of those at 31 is a little unusual. Sorry, I was like, how old was I? I just turned 33. That's why I'm confused.
Oh, okay.
My birthday was September 18th, Maddie.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I knew it was been like your birthday and Lattice's birthday and like so many September birthdays.
I know, everybody gets really
so bad at them.
No, it's okay.
Bad at dates.
That's okay. I said your birthday was May 14th at one point. You're like, no, Mary. And I was very confident in it. It was May 11th.
I know. I was like, that's not
I know. I was so confident. That's what made it funny. But yeah, no, that's kind of the goal with the residency, really, is just accessibility. Accessibility and being able to experience Colorado. And like, yeah, if someone comes here and like falls in love with the valley, awesome. We get more cool people here, and then they can be friends with us, and then we have cooler people in our art community. I'm not saying that's what I want. I'm not trying to, like, make a cult, but, like...
No, yeah. But just, yeah, like, I mean, yeah, to have the space and, like, at... I think accessibility is really important, because at one time before the church project was in existence, like, I was also looking at residencies.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there were some that I found that, like, the application was very expensive. Mm-hmm. Not just like a $45, which also feels very expensive to like have someone read why you want to go and participate in their space. But yeah, I think it's great. And I also think it'll really help the art department and just like your broad vision of like getting to connect with other areas, other departments, and like linking all those things together based on who that person is that comes in. I think is really great. So
yeah, and that's ultimately the goal, right? You know, connection, because you know, when we die, really what's important, the connections we have with other people, in my opinion.
Well, on that note,
I'm sleepy.
Do you have, are there any last words? Not in like a...
Matthew, are you planning on killing me?
What are your last words?
So then Mary disappeared, and now Maddie
is... that you want to share with our very broad audience on The Creative Citizen.
Make art. Everyone's an artist. If you've had trauma and someone's told you you're not, they're a liar. Yeah. Do it for the sake of doing it. I love you all. Bye.
All right. Thanks all for tuning in. We've been visiting this evening with Mary Wilhelm from Adams State University, talking about the Rare Air Artist in Residence program that is, well, kind of officially launched, but even more officially launching in 2026. So thanks all for tuning in. And once again, this podcast is produced by the famous Owen Woods and published by alamosacitizen.com. I've been your host, Madeline Allborn. Until next time.
Are you looking for funding to launch a community project, program, or event in Monta Vista? The Lohr Foundation is here to help. Lohr supports projects that are designed and led by locals like you. The best part? There are no complicated applications, time-consuming reports, or grant cycle deadlines. All it takes to start a funding request is a simple conversation. So reach out to Monta Vista Community Officer Yvette Atencio at lohrfoundation.org today and take the first step towards turning your idea into a reality.
¿Estás buscando financiamiento para lanzar un proyecto, programa o evento comunitario en Monta Vista? La Fundación LOR, L-O-R, está aquí para ayudarte. LOR apoya proyectos que son diseñados y liderados por personas locales como tú. La mejor parte, no hay solicitudes complicadas, informes que consumen mucho tiempo, ni fechas límite de convocatorias. Todo lo que necesitas para iniciar una solicitud de financiamiento es una conversación sencilla. Así que, comunícate hoy mismo con la oficial comunitaria de Monta Vista, Yvette Atencio, en lohrfoundation.org. LOHRFOUNDATION.ORG. Y da el primer paso para convertir tu idea en una realidad.